Amen. Praise the Lord for the special tonight, and what a blessing it already has been just being in the Lord's house this evening. So this time, if you would open your Bibles up to Acts in chapter 9, Acts in chapter 9. Sunday evenings, we've been going through and just teaching on Bible characters, little known Bible characters that have a powerful message for us. I believe that every word in this Bible is God's preserved love letter for us. Every word has been preserved for the English-speaking people. This King James Bible is the very words of God preserved for us to learn from. And every character, every Bible story, God has a message for us. And so as we study this and look at the Bible, there's a lot of Bible characters that we somewhat kind of read over, and we don't really pay a lot of attention to them. We have a lot of other Bible characters that have a lot of notoriety, just like David and Goliath, and as the children were singing about tonight. So we've been looking at little-known Bible characters that have a powerful message for us. Now, we've been going back and forth from the Old Testament to the New Testament and just studying these Bible characters. Tonight, we'll be looking at Ananias. Now, this is not the husband of Sapphira, okay? That was back in Acts chapter 5. And he's dead at this time, okay? And so he did not resurrect, and he's not the one here. This is another Ananias. And if you will, this is the only place in the Bible, the only part in the Scriptures that he has. But I believe he has a very powerful part in the Word of God, and it can help us, and we can learn from him. And so if you stand with me tonight, we're going to read Acts chapter 9, verse 10, down to verse 19. Now, the Apostle Paul had just realized that Jesus Christ was Lord, and that he had been persecuting him. And so now he has turned his heart toward Christ, and now he is waiting for God to speak to him as to what plan God has for him in service. And so here in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, the Bible says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were of Damascus." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again tonight, we thank you for what we've already experienced in this place and what a blessing it has already been just being in church. But now, Father, as we open up your precious word and we look to this Bible character that you have preserved in your word. And I pray tonight, God, that you would help us each one to learn from this story and from this Bible character that which you would have us to learn that would strengthen us in our service to thee. Pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. As far as we know, Ananias had no official position. The Bible says in verse 10 that he was just a certain disciple. A disciple, someone that had put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. No other recognition for this man. He was not one of the apostles. He was not a pastor. He was not an evangelist. He was not a public official. He was just a certain disciple. So I believe when the Bible reveals that, just a certain disciple, any one of us could put our names there. Because what you're going to learn from him, I think, can be applied to any certain disciple. Any disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only other place that this Ananias is mentioned would be in Acts chapter 22 and verse 12, when Paul is giving his testimony as how Ananias had come to him and how God used Ananias in Paul's life. And so, but outside of that, this is all that we have about this certain disciple named Ananias. And so we look at this and we see what took place with this Ananias. And the message, I guess, that would be associated with Ananias would be a believer willing to be used of God. A believer, someone that has put their faith in Jesus Christ and knows that they are a disciple of Christ and is willing to be used. Whatever God would say, whatever capacity that God would want to use you, you're waiting for God's instructions. You're waiting for God's personal will for your life. You're waiting for God to reveal to you exactly what it is that He has for you to accomplish in this life. Whatever it might be, I think that we can identify with this Ananias as a believer willing to be used and how he was greatly used by God. So as we study his life, the first thing I want to look here is he was someone who could recognize God's voice. Can I tell you one of the most important things in the Christian's life today is that you can recognize, you know, the voice of God. Amen. You know when God is speaking to you. You know how to discern between the voice of God and the voice of man. The voice of God and the voice of some other type of influence in your life. We find here that the Bible says, and it was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. There are a lot of voices today, and if we cannot distinguish between them, we'll be very confused. I deal with people all the time that say that, well, God revealed to me in a vision. And already I know that you're very confused. Or God spoke to me in a dream, and he spoke to me, and it was like he was right there, and I heard an audible voice in the middle of the night. And I understand that they are confused. God spoke to me through this individual, and he told me to do a certain thing, and the thing that he told you to do is opposite the words of God, opposite the Bible, opposite the scriptures. And when they tell me that, I think, you've got some issues here. You've been deceived. Amen? And so, because there's so many different voices out there, and there's so many different religions, and there's so many different people who want to influence you for whatever reason, and one of the first things a born-again believer needs to do is learn how to discern God's voice from the world, or from others, from religion. And there's a difference. Do we actually know how God speaks to us today? And where did you get that? Did you get that by reading the Bible? Did you get that through understanding that this Bible represents the very mind of God and He has preserved it for us? And God will not work opposite His word. And so we have to learn that, and we have to understand, all right, now I know that God has spoken to humanity in different ways throughout the ages. We've studied a little bit of that back in even in our study on Wednesday nights on the life of Noah and how that God, the old world is versus the new world and what God has established there. But God spoke to humanity differently in the Old Testament. He spoke to humanity differently when they were under the law of Moses. And the law had its purpose. And the law, according to the New Testament, to the teachings of Christ, it was a schoolmaster to bring us to this present church age for an understanding of all things. And everything that happened to the children of Israel in the Old Testament happened for an example for us to learn from. But we're not under the law today. Somebody needs to tell the president that. When he's confused as far as how we raise our children. We've been under this church age for 2,000 years, and so I think he's a little outdated when it comes to understanding how God speaks to us today. We have the Old Testament. Following the Old Testament came the Lord Jesus Christ, which the whole Old Testament had one theme in mind. The Messiah is coming. Prepare the way for him. Get ready for him. Everything about the blood sacrifices, everything about the law was pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And he came some 2,000 years ago. And he revealed even more of the will of God to humanity. Jesus ushered in this New Testament church age. He gave us understanding about everything that we need to understand about the Old Testament and the Old Testament law, and how he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament law, how he was the fulfillment of the Sabbath day. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And he's established Sunday as the day of assembling ourselves together into worshiping him. He established this day as the Lord's day. There's no doubt about that. And so we understand by reading the scriptures that God spoke to them differently in the Old Testament. He spoke to us through the Lord Jesus Christ while he walked on this planet. He became the comforter of all that were around him. And he was instructing them and he was teaching them. And he was, if you will, presenting the very words of God. Then we have the apostolic age, which followed after Christ resurrected from the grave, after he died and resurrected, and he met with the apostles. We're going to see this in just a minute. And he instructed them. And that lasted as long as the last apostle. Once the last apostle had died, because at that point then the word of God was complete, apostolic age was over. And for some 2,000 years, we've been living in this church age. And God directs us in how we are to be able to discern his voice in this church age. Let's look for a few scriptures. I want you to understand this is very important that we do this. Ananias knew how to discern God's voice. And this was the apostolic age. And he did meet with him. And he did see in a vision. And he did hear the voice, literal voice of God. But that's not the same today. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I want you, and you have to know, this is what the Bible says. This is not just Baptist, although it is Baptist doctrine. I'm Baptist. The Bible makes me Baptist. Amen. And so this is what the Bible teaches, and I'm just believe what the Bible teaches. So we look here in Hebrews in chapter 1, and this was completed by the end of the apostolic age. The entire Bible was completed. So Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 says this: God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now he's revealing that in times past, God dealt with us and spoke through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so now his Son is walking on planet Earth. The very God who created the planet now walks upon the planet. 100% God and 100% man. And he's the one that understood why it was all created, the meaning for it all. And so now he is here to reveal to humanity things that God wants us to understand. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, that's what he would accomplish before he would ascend back to heaven, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's a powerful understanding right there. Acts in chapter 1 now. Acts in chapter 1. After Christ came the apostolic age. So where did the apostles get their biblical doctrine from and their understanding from? From Christ. Matter of fact, the Bible says right here, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. For the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So is there any doubt? Where did the apostles get their doctrine? Where did the apostles get their authority? Where did the apostles get their power? From the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days after the resurrection, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God or the ways of God for this church age. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We need to understand. You need to know how to discern the voice of God. I don't need somebody to come to me and tell me what God has to say to me unless it's from the Word of God. Amen. Why do I have to rely on you hearing something from God that I could not hear to bring to me to tell me something that God has for me that's not in his Word? It's not going to happen. That's not how God works today. Chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which was in part shall be done away. What was the only perfect thing that's ever walked on this planet Earth? God, in the form of Jesus Christ. He was perfect. There was no sin in him. There was no flaw in him. He was perfect. And while he was here, he brought to humanity God's perfect word. And every one of the gospel writers, Paul writing 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible, was inspired by God and instructed by Jesus Christ on what to write. By the end of the apostolic age, this Bible was complete. The very same Bible, the very same words that you have in front of you, it was Greek then. Now we have the English version. Amen. I believe that God preserved that. If man preserved it, there's errors in it. If it was preserved by man, there could be a lot of problems in the translation. But if God was able to create all things, he would be able to preserve for the English-speaking people every word. Jesus would not have said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He would not have commanded that if we did not have every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God preserved it. It's been preserved for the English-speaking people in this King James Bible that we have before us. Every word of it. So, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Most important thing about the life of Ananias was that he could discern between the voice of God. He was someone who could recognize God's voice. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ presented that. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Yeah. When he was here, he taught that. So now we find, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You have to first of all believe and then receive. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they be sent? How shall they preach except they be sent? Jesus Christ established his church. And in his church he has called and equipped pastors and preachers of the churches. And he has equipped them to preach the word of God. And they're sent to preach the word of God. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You build your faith upon understanding the very words of God as you read it, as you study it, as you hear it taught, as you hear it preached. Your faith will increase. Titus chapter 1. I'm just trying to help you to see this. It's important. It's in the Word of God. It's exactly what the Bible teaches us. And yet there's so much confusion over that today. So much confusion over tongues. Because somebody tells me that I have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Spirit of God. Somebody tells me I have to do this in order to know God. I have to do this to be able to go to heaven. I have to be a member of a church. I have to do good things. I have to do this. Listen to me. It's what the Bible says. Stop listening to so many voices and learn how to discern the very, very voice of God. And it will not come in an audible voice. The audible voice will come by the preaching of the Word of God. But it's the Holy Spirit of God that His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit to help you understand the preaching of the Word of God. Yes. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times, this church age has in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. That's Bible. That's easy to understand unless you got a lot of other garbage in your mind. But when you just focus on the very words of God and you learn how to discern the voice of God, you can understand that. A child can understand the very words of God. Yes. And this is King James. Yeah. One last passage of scripture on this, and I think this is important. Revelation chapter 22. The very last chapter of the last book of the Bible before he concludes the full revelation of the Word of God. There are no new revelations. Now, it might be new to you, but if it's in the Bible, it's been there for 2,000 years. There are no new revelations. In order for us to know that God has ceased that and he does not want us to add anything or take anything away from what Jesus Christ presented. Look what it says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. I don't think I want to add anything to it. As a preacher, I better not add anything to it. I better just stand here and preach what thus saith the Lord. Amen. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy. Some preacher, because the people do not want to hear certain passages of Scripture preached, they just don't preach it. God has something to say to those who will not preach the whole counsel of God. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. Can you truly understand who God is if you fail to want people to know his very word? He was someone who could recognize God's voice. We need to be able to recognize God's voice. And it has to be from this Bible right here. Yeah. Well, go back to me. Now, that was a long point, but that was a very, very important point to make. Ananias recognized the very voice of God. He was someone who was willing to obey. When you know it's coming from the very words of God, knowing who God is, are you willing? Some people say, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm not doing that. Other people say, hey, I believe in God, I believe the Word of God. If you can show me in Scriptures it's what God would have me to do, I'll do it. Praise the Lord for that person. You can help that person. Verse 10, the Bible says, go back to Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, and I recognize this is the voice of God, behold, I am here, Lord. I am here. I'm ready for instructions because you are Lord of my life. You're the potter, I'm the clay. Don't get that turned around. Don't get that turned around. He said, yes, you are Lord of my life. I'm yours. What do you have for me to do? See, we prove it to ourselves by being ready to obey. What do you prove? You prove that you truly do believe. You prove that he is truly Lord of your life. If he's Lord of your life, you're waiting on instructions from him. Here am I, send me. Yeah. Luke chapter 6, let me just read that to you. You can write it down. But Luke in chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus addressed his disciples, and he says this to them. Now these are his disciples. He says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's easy to say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, and yes, he's Lord of my life. But are you doing what he tells you to do? Is he truly Lord of your life if you're not willing to do what you know he would have you to do? Ananias was one who could recognize God's voice. Ananias was one when he understood it to be God's voice, he was willing to do whatever God would tell him to do. What a great testimony for a Christian. Ananias was someone that wanted to make sure the command. There's nothing wrong with wanting to make sure of the command. Possibly when you hear it preached, you go home and study the scriptures to make sure that that's exactly what God has for you. Verse 11 and 12, and the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, of one called Saul of Tarsus. When he heard that word, Saul, I'm sure there was some doubt that came into his mind. What in the world? You want me to go to Saul? Yeah. For behold, he prayeth. Is this the same Saul? And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias. He's waiting on you. Coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. God's instructions. So how did Ananias respond to that? He said, this is very important that I understand exactly what you want me to do. Then Ananias answered, Lord, you are Lord. I have heard of many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints, to your children, God, to your saints. And he's trying to make sure that God understands all this, and he's trying to get confidence in himself. Have you ever knew God wanted you to do something, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, I don't see how that's going to work out. I don't know that I can do that. I better make sure. You might need to fast and pray a little bit. Amen. How much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Ananias had some concerns. It could very well have been that Ananias had family members that Saul had put in prison. It's unreal how small a world we really live in. You know, I mean, I was there preaching in Florida for a friend of mine, and not too much time after that, two of his members moved to Indianapolis. They've joined the church this morning. And we go around and we hear of ladies that have come to this ladies' conference and men that come to the men's conference and how they have impacted other churches. And you hear about this out when you're out and about, and you say, wow. I mean, we was eating somewhere. It was out in the nowhere. I mean, we was traveling and we stopped in, and somebody come up to us, or a lady come up to us. They recognized us and said, we was at your ladies' conference. I'm thinking, we're out in Podunk nowhere here, you know. It's a smaller world than we realize. Ananias more than likely had been affected by Saul. Maybe had somebody, some family members that Saul had killed. He might have some family members that were still in prison because Saul split up their homes And he did. But he did it in ignorance. He thought he was serving God. So Ananias had some concern. He had to make sure. There's nothing wrong with making sure. Go home, make sure by getting in your prayer closet and just reading the Word of God and praying to God. And if you need to, spend some time fasting. Just get close to God. God wants you to know His will. He does not want it to be a mystery to you. Amen. Satan will try to block out God's will for your life. He does not want you serving the God. He does not want you to understand what God's purpose is for your life. And so you have to know, this is God's purpose for my life. And when you know God reveals something to you, make sure of that. And the only way that you can make sure of that, spend some time with God. Read His Word. Make sure it does not go opposite the words of God. God's confirmation was in verse 15 and 16. And the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. He's going to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings, the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Wow. So someone that wanted to make sure of the command. Ananias then, lastly, was someone who surrendered to doing God's will. Once he knew, and there was no question, he knew this is what God, not what man wanted him to do, not what the preacher wanted him to do, but he knew this was what God wanted him to do. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way. Once he knew, he went. That's proven to yourself. Once you know God's will, you will prove to yourself that you truly do believe and He is Lord because you will obey. Amen. And he accepted Saul into his Christian family. He put whatever behind him that would have been a negative concerning Saul, and he addressed him as Brother Saul. Now, if he had have had somebody, one of his family members, killed or in prison, unless he knew it was God's will, unless he knew that God wanted, it would have been very difficult for him to go to that man and say, Brother Saul. You might have a very difficult forgiveness in your life of someone else that's hurt you. You might have a very difficult task of putting your arm around somebody that God wants you to put your arm around and say, brother, let's work this out. For the cause of Christ, the testimony of the Savior, let's get victory over this thing. When you know it's God's will for you to love your brother, amen? You cannot love God and say that you hate your brother. You can't do that. When you know it's something that is a hindrance not only to you but to someone else, and it could be a hindrance to your family, it could be a hindrance to your church, it could be a hindrance to the cause of Christ, you need to be willing to say, God, I know this is your will. Strengthen me, give me the wisdom, and do what God tells you to do. Forgive the unforgivable. Love the unlovable. If that's what God would have you to do. Can you imagine what it did for Saul when he heard Ananias say, brother? Knowing Saul at this point, I bet he would have broke down in tears saying, I don't deserve for you to call me brother. Especially if he knew that he had done something to hurt Ananias and his family. He might have asked, why would you call me brother? Ananias would have said, for the love of Christ. Because it's what God would have me to do. It's the will of God for our lives to get this worked out. It's the will of God for our lives to go and to accomplish this, to have a testimony for Christ. He accepted Saul into his Christian family. Wow. Ephesians in chapter 2. verses 19 and 20. When we're saved, we have access to the Father through the Spirit of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's our intercessor. The Bible says, now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners. If you're saved, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household or the family of God. When someone gets saved, can I tell you that they become part of the family of God? And how we need to receive them as family? And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, amen, of this church age. Galatians in chapter 6, I love the Galatians chapter 6, but especially in verse 10 when it's talking about how we are to treat one another. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 it says this, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. That should be our Christian motto. We want to do good. We want to express the love of God to all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. How much more important it is for Christians to stand together in our faith and our love one toward another. He come and he said, Brother Saul, and putting his hands on him, he put his hand on Saul. And he prayed for him because he knew that's what he was supposed to do. And he found Saul praying, and Saul was waiting for someone named Ananias because God revealed to him there's going to be someone. And he's blind and not knowing. He's had 3 days now, Saul, blind, thinking about his life and his past and everything else. He would have had to have been somewhat very miserable thinking about what he had done now to the cause of Christ. And Ananias comes in. He feels somebody put an arm around him. He hears somebody say, Brother Saul. And he gets his eyesight back. Hallelujah! Yeah. What God has revealed is coming true. God's using people in my life to be a help to me. And Ananias came and he put his hand on him and prayed for him. And he encouraged Saul after that even to be baptized. In verse 18, look what it says. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Because Ananias said, Saul, now you're part of the family. Identify with Jesus Christ through believer's baptism. He started discipling. He started helping him. He introduced Saul to the other believers. Look at verse 19. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And he said, I've got a whole family now. As one of them gave testimony this morning, or this evening. What a blessing to have a family of God. Be part of a family of God. Even though Saul would have known that he had persecuted the very same family. And yet the grace of God was sufficient. And now he's being discipled and he has a family. He's part of the brotherhood of Christ. Wow. Ananias was used by God in the preparation of Paul. He started out being Saul. But God was preparing him to be Paul. God was preparing him to do a great and mighty work for the cause of Christ. God was preparing him to write 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. God was preparing Paul to be able to reach the Gentiles, which we are. If it wasn't for an Ananias, we quite possibly would never have had a Paul who reached the Gentiles. Let me ask you a question in closing. Who are we helping to be used by God? Not everyone can be a Paul. But we can all be Ananias's. Little known Bible character has a powerful message for us all. Who are we helping to be used by God? You see, you never know what stage in their life that you might be preparing them. When I was 8 years old, a Sunday school teacher that I, third grade, led me to the Lord. Can I tell you that Mr. Gore, my third grade Sunday school teacher, he was being used by God to prepare me. And you look back into your life, and who did God use to bring into your life to lead you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Listen to me, every Sunday school teacher here tonight, you need to understand that you can be an Ananias, and God is using you to prepare Pauls and Pauls to be used by God. Every one of those children in that Sunday school class, you don't know what God's going to do with them. Every junior church ministry, you never know what God's going to do with one of those little bus kids like my wife. When she was brought into a church because of a bus worker, and she went to a Sunday school class and was saved, and then was trained by a junior church worker and was taught the things of God through the church and became a preacher's wife. Amen. You never know who out there that God is working on, and He wants you to be used to prepare a Paul. What are you doing to help prepare others for the work of the Lord? I know it's no one wants to miss out on the services in here on Sunday mornings. That's why we have two different groups that work junior church, so no one's out every service. But even that's a sacrifice. If you weren't here this morning and you heard people coming out of the service, say, wow, you know, what about that? And the music and everything. You know, you're thinking, oh, I was in junior church. But can I tell you what you were doing? You were being used by God to prepare someone else for ministry. And who knows? There might have been a Paul. Might have been a Saul in your Sunday school class or junior church ministry that God's going to turn into a Paul. Amen. Yeah. Who are we helping to be used by God? I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. What a powerful message from the life of Ananias.